Pakistan faces a growing threat from neighboring Afghanistan. The Taliban is stronger now and pushing into Pakistan past the tribal border areas. NATO is fighting the Taliban in southern Afghanistan, but without a lot of success. I spoke earlier with Nicholas Burns, the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, along with his boss, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. He is trying to convince European countries to send more troops. He says the entire region's security is at stake.
It's very important that Pakistan be very aggressive in going after these terrorist groups on its own soil, because those groups attack across the border into Afghanistan against Afghan forces, against the United States forces, and then they seek refuge going back across that very difficult mountainous terrain. And so the strategic challenge is that we see effective counterinsurgency tactics both in Pakistan by the Pakistani government and in Afghanistan by the Afghan, U.S., and international forces. And that makes this quite a unique challenge. And that, I think, is a central issue where we've got to join in the struggle to defeat the Taliban.
You just returned from Europe, where you were trying to gather more support from NATO allies, more troops, really, to fight in the violent southern part of Afghanistan. Germany said no, flat out no. And it's third behind the U.S. and Britain in terms of the number of troops it has now in Afghanistan. How crucial is it that you convince Germany to say yes to more troops?
NATO is deployed in all parts of the country, but the vast majority of fighting, the threat from the Taliban, the violence from the Taliban, comes principally in the south, in Kandahar, Helmand, and Orozgan provinces, and in the east, along the border with Pakistan. And so that's where our troops need to be. And unfortunately, of the 26 members of the NATO alliance, only 9 of those countries, including the U.S., are deployed in those violent areas. And so 9 of the 26 countries are assuming the largest share of the burden, and unfortunately, the greatest number of casualties. And we just can't have a situation where a small number of allies do the great majority of work for the rest of the alliance. NATO is built on the principle of equality and of sharing of the burdens, and we'd like to see some of the European countries do more on that basis.
Is there the thinking, Secretary Burns, that because of what's going on in Iraq, that there is no public appetite in European countries to send more troops abroad to places like Afghanistan?
No, I was at NATO as ambassador when we made the decision in 2003 to deploy the NATO forces to Afghanistan, and I think the Europeans have largely separated the two issues in their minds. I do think there's a larger problem at work here, however, Madeline, and that is that, unfortunately, defense budgets are very low in most of the West European countries by historical standards. The readiness of some of the West European countries to lift their troops into battle through air power to sustain troops is quite limited because of those low defense budgets. And there seems to be a reluctance on the part of some countries and the parliaments of some countries to engage in the kind of counterinsurgency action that is clearly needed in Afghanistan.
Britain's Paddy Ashdown, who withdrew as a super envoy to Afghanistan, he said recently that defeat is now a real possibility. And the NATO commander on the ground in Afghanistan, General Dan McNeil, said that really to effectively fight the Taliban, some 400,000 NATO and Afghan troops are needed. Now there are just about 40,000 NATO troops. How real is Paddy Ashdown's assessment that defeat is really right around the corner?
I have great respect for Paddy Ashdown. I do not agree that somehow defeat is around the corner for NATO or for the United States. Actually, we've taken the fight to the Taliban over the last 2 years. I think that what we do need in Afghanistan is a more effective counterinsurgency strategy, meaning it can't just be about the military action. You also need a much more sharply defined and robust international civilian effort so that when a village is liberated, as Musa Qala was, from the Taliban, and the NATO forces come in, they are quickly followed by international humanitarian relief and by economic programs so that the people of Afghanistan can see that there's hope in the NATO and Afghan government's efforts.
A recent report out by a former NATO supreme commander concluded that the U.S. doesn't have a, quote, clear and consistent comprehensive strategy in Afghanistan. Is that true at all?
I think that we've fashioned a very clear strategy for what we need to do in Afghanistan. We need to help preserve and see the development of Afghan democracy. We need to help the Afghans through the provision of infrastructure development. You know, they certainly need the Afghan government to focus on the question of narcotics production. The poppy production is at extraordinarily high levels. This is a major problem for the export of heroin to Russia and to Western Europe. So we have programs in place to try to address all this. And I do think that both the executive branch, President Bush, and the Congress have been very keen to put forward substantial American financial assistance on the economic side. We have and will have over 30,000 American troops in Afghanistan between now and September. So I think the United States has a well-conceived strategy, and we've made a major national effort. We need to sustain it. And I do think we have bipartisan support in Washington for a fully engaged and long-term mission of the United States. It's clearly in our national interest.
Nicholas Burns is Undersecretary of State. Nicholas Burns, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Madeline. Thank you very much.